This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
While you slept, the world reached a milestone on renewable energy. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Well, at least in the last year, the milestone was reached. There's news from the International Energy Agency that for the first time, renewable energy production capacity has surpassed coal. 500,000 solar panels were put up each day on average. 2 wind turbines are going up every hour in China alone. The Financial Times today quotes the IEA saying that clean energy outpacing coal was unthinkable just 5 years ago. Polita Clark is following this for the FT. Good morning.
Good morning.
It sounds like we've reached a milestone here with regards to energy.
Well, these figures from the International Energy Agency sharply upgraded their forecasts for how fast they think renewable energy sources are going to keep on growing up until 2021. That doesn't mean power generation, but it does mean megawatt for megawatt. There was more renewable energy installed last year than conventional forms of energy, and it does mean that now apparently renewables have overtaken the cumulative power capacity of coal, which is really quite interesting.
That said, often renewables are inconsistent in their output. The sun sets or the wind stops blowing.
Well, that's right. We do need to keep in mind that coal power still supplied nearly 40% of the world's power last year. What this report is underlining is just this really dramatic growth in wind and solar power. And part of it is because once solar and wind farm operators figure out the best way to actually build these things, then you find that a lot of the costs involved keep falling. So in countries in particular where electricity is quite expensive, wind and solar power have just become a bit of a no-brainer, really.
Some of the economics of renewable energy. Polita Clark with the Financial Times. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Big mergers of just the last few days. AT&T's intention to buy Time Warner, if antitrust regulators go for it, $85 billion. 2 aircraft equipment makers, BE Aerospace and Rockwell Collins, $6.4 billion plus debt. And there's TD Ameritrade buying Scottrade for $4 billion. I have 2 little questions here. Let's consult our Tuesday analyst from the Heartland, Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, David.
All right, I got a 5-word question followed by a 3-word question. Number 1, why all these deals now?
Well, probably the biggest thing is money is so cheap. We have a world now, a globe that is awash in cash. And you have interest rates exceptionally low, so a lot of these are being done for debt. They have all kinds of low-priced debt financing all of this. So the opportunity is here. And when your own growth is slowing down, what do? You go out and find somebody else, combine the two together, and see if you can't boost those earnings. So this is a case of opportunity and motive.
More to come?
2015 was the record year for mergers. We did $4.9 trillion. 2016 was a little slower simply because of the elections, Brexit, a lot of anxiety. This is all pretty much gone now. There's a certainty coming about that they can do more. 2017 is going to be phenomenal. Big mergers are going to be all over the place at this point in time. And you're going to see, effectively, mergers raise prices, not efficiency. You're going to have monopolies that's going to reduce competition. It's all about oligopoly. You've got market concentration, and it's going to continue to build in the future.
All right. The views of Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company. Thank you.
You bet.
A big issue this campaign is Donald Trump's wall along the southern border. Meanwhile, the infrastructure at many of America's legal ports of entry has fallen behind. Private companies and local governments have to some extent stepped in. From KJZZ's Fronteras desk, Monica Ortiz Uribe reports.
It takes 200 cargo trucks per day to move thousands of Dell computers assembled at a massive factory in Mexico into the United States. The trucks drive into Santa Teresa, New Mexico. Carl Laskus heads up global trade for Dell. He says the company also needs to move materials south to assemble its computers.
For some time, Dell has been anxious to increase the volume going southbound to its manufacturing facility in Mexico.
The one thing holding the company back? Limited hours at the port of entry. That began to change when Dell signed on to a program hosted by U.S. Customs and Border Protection that allows private companies and local governments to reimburse the feds for additional services. Dell, for example, refunds officer overtime so the border crossing at Santa Teresa can stay open extra hours on weeknights. The company started this partnership in January.
We initially anticipated a 15% increase in volume, and we're exceeding that.
Other participants in the reimbursable services program include airports and seaports nationwide. The city of El Paso uses toll money from its international border crossing to keep busy commuter lanes fully staffed on weekdays. Matthew McElroy is the director of international bridges for the city of El Paso.
Nobody likes to wait in line. We need to keep pushing to find more and more ways to reduce wait times.
Others have used the program to pay for construction of additional cargo lanes or new inspection facilities. Chris Sullivan is the director of alternative funding for U.S. Customs.
Public-private partnerships are the wave of the future, in my opinion, because we're just trying to do more with less.
In the last 3 years, Sullivan says the program has helped reduce wait times at participating ports of entry by an average of 30%. I'm Monica Ortiz Uribe for Marketplace.
And if you've ever felt the pain of getting your bike stolen, there's this. There is word that a startup has reached its online funding goal and now plans to start producing a bike lock that stinks to high heaven if a thief cuts it or pries it apart. Some, apparently, non-toxic chemical aims to make the would-be thief barf. It smells so bad, leaving you with a smelly bike, which I guess you could hose off. Skunk Lock is the name. One day out riding, I put some Limburger into my saddlebag and thought about the social pariah effect, but never the anti-theft potential. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.